Welcome back to a very special episode of Off Record On Point, the culture podcast with the all-important twist. I'm Julia Linehan, CEO and founder of The Digital Voice.
And I'm Casey Long. Today, we're joined by the incredible Katie Street, MD and founder of Street Agency. And as always, you can check the description for our usual list of resources to keep the conversation going. Here's a sneak peek at what's in store.
I wish I'd been brave enough to say, no, I will position myself just like, you know, Todd or whoever else is, you know, selling to them, because I'm a brilliant salesperson, or I know how to, you know, position our products to market them. Like, not because I'm a blonde young girl.
So I'm always a bit torn, because as women, we often do use our own sexuality and are quite proud of that. And it is wanting to, you know, you should be look as glam as you like, but you're right. It's just going, that's not the only reason that you're succeeding. It's just part of a very small part of who you are.
Some kind of pledge that people can go, these are really simple things that I can do to start to change the world and make it fairer.
I love that. I think it is. So I always think it's like, we're going to provide a playbook, a run book on, look, if you do this, and if you do this as well, have the confidence that it's going to work.
When she'd told a previous employer that she was pregnant, he was like, well, you're going to hand your notice in then, because you're obviously not committed to this role.
Oh my gosh.
Not committed to your role.
Ahead of International Women's Day 2024, today is all about female empowerment in the industry. Julia, what's in store?
Well, this is so timely, given tomorrow is International Women's Day. And I love that the focus this year is about inspiring inclusion. And I think that's what this needs to be about. We haven't moved the needle in so many aspects, but often it's not a case of just banging the drum. We want to show, inspire women that by doing more, by being more, that's where the magic happens. So International Women's Days are going to be all about celebrating women's achievements, raising awareness of discrimination, and really taking action. More than that, we're even more delighted that Katie is joining us, because Woo! Katie and myself, and we've got Ellie Edwards-Scott and Lisa Minaldo, we'll be back this year at the Female Leaders Bar at MadFest. We've also got the Female Leaders Club running all year round with cappuccinos and cock-up series. So this is an important topic that we are taking to the industry day in, day out, and at the big event in the summer. Let's not forget as well, this all stemmed from where I spoke at MadFest a couple of years ago about 5% of founders are female. What the fuck? And that's the question that was raised, the topic that was discussed, and we just keep on bringing it more and more. But enough from me, because I want to get right to it and welcome Katie to our special podcast session.
But I love being introduced as incredible. I mean, let's go back to that. But seeing as we're talking about, you know, inclusion, and for me about, you know, a lot of that is around us women being brave enough to stand up and shout and get our voices heard, I'm going to accept that incredible introduction and go with it.
As you should.
You take it. You're going to own it.
Yes.
It was an absolute pleasure for me personally to be on stage with you last year at the Female Leaders Bar. You know, we interviewed, oh my God, so many phenomenal women.
There were so many amazing women on stage last year, and certainly, you know, this year what we're going to try and do is actually, you know, include a lot more men actually, which is I'm super excited about, because that allyship is really important. So that kind of leads me into what I think the most important thing is that allyship. It's if we're just women shouting about this, you know, within an echo chamber, change doesn't happen. So what I truly believe needs to happen is to bring men on the journey with us, get them to support us, to encourage us, to, you know, spot where, you know, these terrible, sometimes tiny, but sometimes terrible things are being said or happening in meetings, in boardrooms, that means that there are men stood with us, not against us in this mission. So I think for me, that's what I really want to focus on, across everything, but especially at MadFest this year.
It's interesting that you say it's like tiny or terrible, and those two is very, very different ends of the spectrum, but all kind of pointing down to pain points, really. Are you able to say what you think are likely to be? Let's take one tiny and one terrible pain point that still exists that we really need to amplify that conversation.
Great question, Julia. Do you know what? I feel so blessed. So because I also host a podcast about this kind of stuff, and I I interview incredible women all the time. I've had, you know, quite recently a lady on, you know, tends to be kind of marketing digital tech leaders, but someone on from Boohoo. This morning, I spoke to a lady from British Gas, and it's one. I'm going to pick out one big and one little thing. So the lady I spoke to today, she was referencing, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, she was referencing how when she'd told a previous employer that she was pregnant, he was like, well, you're going to have to hand your notice in then because you're obviously not committed to this role.
Oh my gosh.
Not committed to your role.
And that's, you know, happened in the last 10 years. Because I know how old her child is because we chatted on the call about it. But it's those kind of things that are still, and it was a guy who said that, like those kind of things. It's the conversations that are probably happening. I mean, she knew about that because he was rude enough to say it to her and
yeah.
naive enough to still think like that. But those conversations are happening behind women's back all the time when we apply for jobs, when we apply for promotions. Oh, she's just got married. She shouldn't be getting that promotion. Oh, you know, so for me, there's those big things that need to change. But little things is language. Like, I don't know, using the word pretty or girl or, I don't know, just little things that get said that are consistently putting women on the back foot without people even wanting to do that. Like in that case, that was that was one of the terrible things.
That's conscious bias. This is unconscious bias though, isn't it? When you just don't recognize it necessarily.
Exactly. There's so much that goes on that I probably say things that are wrong. Yeah, we all do. So I think bringing that to the forefront and really, and also, you know, when these really shit things happen, like us being brave enough, because the amount of times terrible things have happened to me in my career and I haven't been brave enough to question someone or to say, actually, that was bang out of order what you just did, you know, that shouldn't have happened, or, you know, and the same for my colleagues, like when I don't feel something's right or someone's saying something wrong, you know, that there's a lot that needs to change. So I think language for me is huge.
Is there an example you can think of, Katie, of if you could rewind the clock and go back in time, what would be a situation you would say, God, I've stood in the shower or like washed up dishes and played out that conversation 15 times of what I would say now?
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, the biggest thing that used to happen to me, and I just used to go along with it, is like, I've always worked in sales and marketing, and the beginning part of my career more in sales. And the biggest thing that used to happen to me is, okay, you know, Katie's young and blonde and pretty. Let's roll her out. You know, if you go, Katie, they'll buy us. But, you know, wear a low cut top or give whatever you need to give to get the deal done. And I just went along with it, like thinking, oh yeah, I can use my sexuality to like convince men to buy off me, and it probably did. Stupid men.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have to do that. And I've even had, you know, partners, boyfriends in recent years say to me, oh, well, they only buy you because they fancy you. And I'm like, no, they buy me because I do a fucking great job.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm doing. So I think I probably didn't stand up enough to go, I don't need to look. Yes, I appreciate that I'm a woman and people, you know, look at me and probably think something before that, you know, people make a decision on me and within about 2 or 3 seconds, as they do with everyone based on my appearance. You know, lucky to have, you know, be an attractive-ish blonde
beautiful
woman.
You're gorgeous. We can say it.
Remember to own it. I am remarkable. You have to say that. I am remarkable.
I am remarkable. Oh, God, I don't feel like that most of the time. But, you know, I wish I'd been brave enough to say, no, I will position myself just like, you know, Todd or whoever else is, you know, selling to them because I'm a brilliant salesperson or I know how to, you know, position our products to market them, like because I'm a blonde young girl.
I think because I started my career 30 years ago in sales and I must admit I was working in PC Pro. So it was, and you'd go and meet all the retailers, the computer retailers and stuff. But I look back and I think actually they possibly were thinking, oh, because she's a woman, etc. But I know that I was a really good salesperson like you, Katie. I truly believe that and own it. I love sales. But I think back and I think it's actually, I think what people should have said is it's about personality. It's that vivaciousness. It's that smile. It's that energy. That's what comes across, and that's what people should harness, that language, those words. But there is a bit of I'm always a bit torn because as women, we often do use our own sexuality and are quite proud of that. And it is wanting to, you know, you should look as glam as you like, but you're right. It's just going, that's not the only reason that you're succeeding. It's just part of a very small part of who you are. It's so much more than that.
100%. And I think that little change in positioning, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Like, yeah.
You know, go and be Katie, not go and be a blonde, young, attractive woman. Go and be Katie.
Be Katie with all that she brings.
So much more than our vessel.
Yeah. That's the language change that needs to happen.
Love it.
We're saying you're talking about Madfest and the Female Leaders Bar this summer. I'd be curious to know, right? So you've got a choice. You can have anybody that you can pick to interview on stage that could address those two topics that we've talked about, or anything. But who would it be?
Oh,
who are you going to go after?
Who would I really want to? Yeah, I should really highlight this, because then I can use this content to go and attack them.
Yeah, I know. Now you've asked for it. We're like, well, I did ask live on a podcast.
Let's go for someone like Trini. I love Trini.
Nice.
I love that brand. So let's see if we can get Trini. That would be awesome.
Oh, wouldn't that
it?
Would be...
I'm connected with her CMO, so it isn't a million miles away.
Love it.
Someone like that who's been brave enough to launch a business, to lose everything, to run a business that she really believes in. And, you know, she is the founder, she is the CEO. So that kind of, you know, I want those kind of inspirational leaders on stage this year. And that might be other CEOs, other MDs of big businesses that is going to really get people to stand up and listen, because there's not enough of us.
I love that one. Can I put one in? I'm going to put one in. And this is only a bit of a curveball, actually, because I've only just connected with her recently and I'm looking into her new launch as well for us to use as a team. And that's Fern McCann, who's launching a well-being app called Shora. I think Shora. So I think that's one. Again, because I'm really curious, because my daughter's really into TOWIE and those kind of programs. But for me, it's not something, that's not what's selling it. It's what the product's going to be. So I'm interested from that other side of how much do you leverage your influencer status versus them being actually having a good product to market. Again, coming back to that respect, does it get torn that you're only being connected, people are only buying into you because of your celebrity status? I'd love that. I'm putting that in, that one down.
There's two. And then can I give one more? Ha ha.
Yeah.
Because I've worked with her when she was at, well, I say worked with her, I've pitched to her. We didn't actually win the work, but for a big digital transformation project at LV years ago. And she's now just moved. I'm going to get this wrong. I think she's now CEO at Aviva, Heather Smith. So again, trailblazer. When I was working with her, she was, you know, head of, I don't know the exact, but head of digital, or, you know.
Wow.
And she's come through the ranks and she's now CEO of one of the biggest insurance companies in the UK. So again, talking to women about that journey, because there's too few at, you know, in those FTSE 500, in those big, big businesses that are high growth.
Yeah.
So I think having a diversity of those kind of female leaders on stage will really inspire other women to step up and do more.
Which would be perfect for the International Women's Day, inspiring.
Inspiring inclusion, yes.
That's perfect. Love that, Katie.
Yeah, too right. We're going to have some great guests this year. I'm super excited about it.
I love it. And I love the fact that Madfest and the team, we're focusing more on the whole year community. And that's the idea of the Female Leaders Club throughout it. And as you know, Katie, I'm a big fan of female-led communities. Obviously, co-founder of Digital Leading Ladies. I co-founded Spill for the sober community and part of Bloom. Was part of the Digital Advertising Women's Network. Casey is on Women in PR as well. So we're huge, huge believers that you, as much as you can, lean in, and the more you lean in, the more you get out. Do you see a benefit in female-led communities, or even just, I know it's International Women's Day, but communities for everybody?
Yeah, I think 100%. Being part of those communities, especially, you know, communities are the future of marketing at the end of the day, but communities, I think, that empower conversation, bravery, that bring in the younger generations to enable them to learn from others. You're a bit like mentoring, isn't it, I guess, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So 100%. I guess my concern with communities often is, you know, a bit like the females talking about female leadership, is it can become an echo chamber. And I think that's what's really interesting about, nice little segue here, for Madfest, is to bring that to a larger stage. So the things that the communities are talking about within the communities, because there are so many people that don't know about these communities or aren't part of them. Or, you know, again, a lot of these communities, I bet, are made mainly up of women. So how do we get those male allies on board so that it becomes, because it's got to be equal. Like, we need men to understand it from a woman's point of view in order for these communities to work. And it was really interesting. The other day I had on my podcast a lovely lady called Jasmine. She's on the board. I can't remember her job title. Sorry, Jasmine. But she leads, she's in the leadership team at Content Stack, which is a huge, you know, marketing tech platform, you know, globally. And she also leads Women in Mac for the Mac Alliance. She was saying, as part of their kind of strategies last year, she kind of, you know, started thinking, how can we bring more men in? So she got the male allies into the room with the Women in Mac community. And one of the guys afterwards grabbed her and was like, for the first time, I'm feeling like you're feeling. I'm in a room where it's full of women. And this is what you have every day. And yeah. For me, I was really conscious about that because I'm not used to being in a room full of women. But it's making me realize how intimidating it is for you women, because you're consistently put in a room where it's all men and you're the only woman. So we're always in the minority. And we're used to that. I don't even notice that anymore.
No, I don't.
For us,
no.
Every day. So I think flipping that, the thing that it reminds me of is like Ken in the Barbie movie.
I thought of the Barbie movie earlier too. It's really funny you're saying it now.
He's like, wow, like this is how it, like men are the leaders. And like, and we forget like that is what it is. And men don't see it because they don't live it. So we need to have more situations where men are in the minority so they can go, oh, this is a bit weird and awkward. And they might realize that that's weird and awkward for us every bloody day.
We're lucky, I guess, Julia, because a lot of our lovely clients that we work with and a lot of the teams that we work with, it is a lot of women in our calls and on our teams.
Yeah, we've got a lot of female founders as our clients, Hannah Merza, Suze Chaplin, we're really, and women in leadership positions like Fern Potter at Multiloco. So I love it. And obviously, as you know, Katie, we've got a high proportion of females at the Digital Voice, which I always say is not by design. It's because they're the right people. And it's irrelevant to me. It is about much more about their and everybody's individual energy. That's what they all bring. That's what's the consistent part that everyone's Digital Voice, but it happens to be a lot of women. But we do, we're thoroughly blessed that we're surrounded by, it's a really, really fun and lovely community of women, which shows when it's done right. And it's not that stereotypical, can be bitchy. It's just an illusion that.
Yeah. Oh God, men are much bitchier than women.
It's true, in a different kind of way. So MadFest, it's incredible, obviously, since your first panel, Julia, that it turned into Female Leaders Bar, the networking group. And Katie, you've also recently kicked off a lovely podcast with the MadFest team, haven't you?
Yes. Highlighting all this stuff, I guess. So essentially, we now have a stream of content I'm recording. So my podcast is generally about marketing innovation.
Remind everybody what it's called, because we love it. We just want to give a shout out to everyone to listen.
Marketing in the Madness. Yeah. So if you've not listened before, go. We're on all Apple Podcasts, all the normal places, YouTube, if you want to watch me in person. The main topic of conversation is around innovations in tech, digital marketing. I interview brand leaders, marketing leaders, men, women, you know, everyone that's in between. You know, we really focus on highlighting the innovations that are happening in the space, really. And what we're now doing as part of the collaboration with MadFest is every single guest I have on, so whether they're a CMO at, you know, British Gas, or, you know, a head of digital at Crew Clothing, whether they're a man or a woman, we're really starting now to question them, like, what's their view on the kind of, you know, the status of, you know, equality within the industry. What are they doing as a business to make it fairer for, you know, specifically in, you know, this conversation we are referencing women. So what can we do to make it fairer? What policies do businesses have? What crap, terrible things have they had happen to them in their career?
Yeah.
What's the crap that's happening? What needs to change? And how can we start to, exactly like you said earlier, Julia, move that dial? So there's now a specific stream of content that's being hosted, not just live on the podcast. So it's a shorter 5-10 minute episode that's now coming out specifically around that with every single guest that I have on. But also we're hosting that content on as part of the Female Leaders Club. And some of the amazing people that I'm having on the podcast will also hopefully be joining us on stage at the live event at MadFest.
I'm excited for this, and I love the fact that we're growing it each year, like with the extra newsletter and the extra content and the podcast. Any idea on the kind of hottest topics that you think are going to come up and they're going to cover? And I know it's such a broad spectrum because it's also going to be, as you said, men, women, non-binary. We're making sure it's much more inclusive and broader this year.
The hot topics are probably the stuff we've kind of already talked about. Allyship, how men can help us in this kind of journey of making it fair and white.
And, yes.
And I think, you know, essentially that language change piece, I mean, there's so much to highlight. I want to highlight everything, but I think what we're trying to come out with this year is almost like a, you know, something that businesses can stand, or businesses and people can stand by, going, if I do these things, like based on all the conversations that we're having this year, if I can implement two or three of these things, that's actually going to start to make a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
Some kind of pledge that people can go, these are really simple things that I can do to start to change the world and make it fairer.
I love that. I think it is. So I always think it's like, we're going to provide a playbook, a run book on, look, if you do this, and if you do this as well, have the confidence that it's going to work. And I'll give you an example. The brilliant team with Lisa Goodchild at DigiLearning just came out in the FT with a big report about, if you do have a diverse workforce, you'll see a 35% increase in performance, right? So very simple. There's the action. And there's the results, and it has, and we've got the evidence to prove it. So I'd love to see more of that. And I think you're right, Katie. I'll tell you what we might need to do is actually make it at the end of every session. What's the actions? What's the not just what's the takeaways, but you've got to implement this. This is your run book. This is, everyone write this down right now. You do this, it will affect change. Go.
Because it's so, yeah, you know, we're built on hundreds, thousands of years of being on the back foot. Like, we can't, you know, it's really hard. Like, I was discussing this with my brother, and I kind of had a bit of an argument with him about it. And he was like, well, you're not going to make a change. I was like, but we have come along leaps and bounds, but yeah. This is built on hundreds and thousands of years of, you know, us women being expected, let's be honest, to do bloody everything. Like, you know, the expectations of a woman are so high. I've got to be a brilliant mum. I've got to look beautiful. I've got to be slim. I've got to, you know, be intelligent. I've got to, you know, be a great housewife and cook lovely meals. And I've got to be a leader at work and inspire other women. And I can't be too aggressive, but I can't be too nice. And I can't be, you know, I don't want to be seen to be a bitch and, you know, not allowed to use the word bossy or like, just, there's so much as women that we have to stand up to. Men don't have to do that. They expect a woman to be at home cooking the dinner. But if I'm running a business as a woman, I'm expected to be the person cooking dinner as well. And it's not bloody on.
It's not.
No, I mean, I do have to say, I'm going to do a little bit of a shout out there. There's a lot of men, and in fairness, that do a 50% split in both parenting and work and responsibilities. And I think that there has already been a shift. I'll give you an example. We just recently went to see the Tate Britain Women in Revolt exhibition. Mm. Now, if we look at the 1970s, we have come an awfully long way.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest change has been since 2020 as well. I think when COVID happened, it's affected how then maybe men and partners got to see what the other partner did at home. And then went, oh, I see it. Now I see it because I'm at home watching this happen.
Wow. Yeah.
And we're trying to inspire in this and in International Women's Day in this year to say it is possible, it does work, it will work for both of you better. It's just meet us in the middle.
I think it's the old school expectations that we need to shake off. Like, you know, it's not, you know, I mean, there is the phrase house husband, isn't it? But how often do you hear that compared to housewife? You just don't. So, you know, I think it's shaking off the expectations of and the pressures that are put on women to be everything to everyone, because it's really, really tough to do that. One thing I heard on the news this morning, I don't know if anyone else listened to this earlier today, is chivalry dead? So here, can I put a question to you guys, if anyone else heard it?
Oh.
So what they were saying is, I can't remember who it was, but someone on the tube, like a celebrity, it's made the news. There was a woman sat on the tube and stood up on the tube, and he was sat down. And he's like, well, do you want my seat? And she was like, why would I want your seat? Just because I'm a woman. So is chivalry dead, is what they were talking about on the news today. Like, is it appropriate for that to still happen or not?
Oh my gosh.
I think this is a really sad thing. We talk a lot, we work with a lot of clients on sustainability, right? And there's this green hushing where brands are so scared of coming out and saying that they really want to pledge actions on sustainability, but they're worried that they're going to get it wrong. I really hope we do. I really feel quite sad when stuff like that happens. To me, that's, you're so nervous from doing right from wrong. And I just think it's a lovely gesture. And I think it's not, to me, I think that's just a man just being.
That sounds like human kindness.
We tend to have massive handbags. If nothing else, we're wearing heels and handbags.
Yes.
I don't, by the way, I wear biker boots and I have small handbags. So I'm good. But the point is, maybe he was offering it for those reasons.
Yeah.
And also, that's a really lovely thing. So I do worry that I do not want to get to a point where it's, what can we call it? Like where it's hushing, where men are so nervous of getting it wrong that it's going to become quite an unnatural, or women, or in any way, you know, with anything. We're all so nervous yeah. about saying the wrong thing. I think we had a podcast, one of our episodes in season two was about this, and it was that fear of, am I going to get it right? Am I going to get it wrong? I'll say nothing. Let's not get to that point.
Yeah.
That is such a good point, actually, Julia. Yeah, don't be so worried that not to speak up, because that's the opposite.
Yeah. I normally say, if someone offers me a seat, I just go, oh, that's so sweet of you, but actually I'm all right. But thank you. Yeah. Just yeah. be polite. It's a lovely gesture. Don't read anything more than that into it.
Equally, I could be sat there and I could see an elderly man who came on the train, but I'm sat there able-bodied and happy to stand up. I could offer this older gentleman a seat and hopefully he would accept it. But it's more of like just a human gesture, I think, than like
a human. Yeah. Let's just remember people are people and it's kind to do anything. Open doors, I'd open it for a man or a woman. I'd open yeah. it for yeah. anybody.
It's just kindness.
I think it's a really good question though, but I hope chivalry is not. I hope it's just be kind.
Yeah.
Even if it's not chivalry, everybody love everybody a little bit more.
It's a funny question though, isn't it? Like, you know, how do we feel about men opening doors for us anymore? I mean, I love it. I'm all for female empowerment, but they're, and this is what the argument that sometimes, you know, I have had at home at a dinner party or something like that. It sounds very middle class for me, doesn't it?
I bet your dinner parties are fabulous and wild.
I can't remember the last time I hosted a dinner party. But anyway, so, you know, those are the kind of conversations that we'll have around the table. Is guys will go, well, you can't expect us to open the door for you, but you want you to have everything fair. I'm like, well, we can. I can expect whatever I want to expect in life.
Yeah.
I must admit, though, I like it when if I go in the house, I've got a son and a daughter. It's nice when either one of them opens the door.
Yeah, opens the door.
I've got more bags. Honestly, I think just use some common sense. It's nice to do it to anybody. It's yeah. nice to hold the door to anybody. I think it's just, honestly, bring back some common sense in this and some kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And look, let's be honest, men often are, like, not always, but often are bigger and stronger. That's just how they're built. So when it comes to carrying something heavy,
yeah.
definitely a man should offer to help out or take the heavier load, because the reality is they're bigger than us. Like, that's just it. That's just how we're made up.
On the whole.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they should offer to help.
Like, I get into arguments with my mom over this. So I grew up in a household where very much we would be wanting to like rearrange our furniture like teenage girls do, or push things around. And it would be like, oh, should we wait till dad comes home? And my mom would be like, no, let's go just do it right now. We're all here. And we would go in and push everything around and get it all sorted ourselves. And to this day, I actually just had to tell her off because she was carrying these huge glass doors around while she has construction workers at home right now. And I said, Mom, I really appreciate that you're just going to go for it and that you don't need nobody to do nothing and that you got it equally.
But Casey's mom is tiny.
There is a line where you don't have anything to prove anymore. It's okay to ask for help.
It's just that extra pair of hands. And I think that's what yeah. I think we'd massively inspire and bring everyone along.
Yeah.
I've got to change the subject slightly, because we talked about your podcast very briefly, but I absolutely, Marketing in the Madness, what I love about it is it really hits the sweet spot of the latest trends, what's upbeat, what's downcast, what's going too fast, too slow. I think it's important today to also bring it back into that, because we as an industry are sort of sat there this year being cautiously, will it, won't it, which way is it going to go? You're the woman in the know. Tell us all, Katie.
Oh my goodness, what's front of mind for me right now? God, I feel like everyone has already spoken about this so much. I'm really sorry to say these words, or these two letters, AI, because it is everywhere. Like, in terms of my focus for my business and what we're doing with our clients and what I'm hearing from brands. In fact, it was super interesting. Last week before last, we hosted an event with Creed and Eon.
Wow.
And it was all around how AI can help you scale your content. But it's the world is changing. And exactly to your point, Julia, that's what I want to highlight on the podcast is, you know, the technologies, the tools, the things that can help propel you forward faster to do more with less. We're all time poor. You know, AI isn't going to go away. So for me, investigating, like, I mean, literally, I was asking the guy from Eon, like, how did you work out which platform that you were going to use? Because they've done this, they've created this really cool, basically, it's like a human chatbot, but it's actually a video chatbot. And you, when you're talking to it, you don't actually realize it's not a real person.
Wow.
I was like, well, how did you work out, you know, which platform to use, or how did it? We asked ChatGPT.
Oh my God.
So we just need to get experimental. I would say AI is here. It's in most of the things that we use anyway, whether that's automation, you know, creation of content. We've got to be clever. It's only, you know, it's the gun. It's only as good as what we put in. So you've got to get really clever at asking the questions. We had some really exciting training with Microsoft last week early, because by accident on the train on the way back from this AI event, I was sat opposite a guy from Microsoft who, and they just launched Copilot last week. So then I've had some, literally the whole of my team at Street have just had like a private I probably shouldn't be telling everyone this, but like a look at the launch, because it had launched last week, and it does some amazing things. Like, you're off the back of meetings, you can, you know, you've got to get good at asking questions basically when we're using AI.
Yeah.
What AI is going to enable us to do at business, within business, is from a marketing perspective huge, but from running a business perspective huge. So
I love the way you said, Katie, that it's like it's the gun, but we have the ability to lock, load, shoot, aim, and all of that. And I don't even like guns, so I can't believe I'm going to go with this one, but I do agree, it kind of, it brings it to mind as to what we have the power to control, what it does.
Yeah, it's only as good as what you put in. If you give it crap, it will come out with crap. If you, and you can see, like, you know, I notice now on LinkedIn, I know who's writing their content.
Vanilla Schmiller.
Because I use it. And I don't, you know, I use it in a different way. I hope I use it in a more structured way. But, you know, I can tell if someone's got capital letters at the beginning of each hashtag, that's been created by ChatGPT. If they've got semicolons after the messaging on a kind of bullet points, that's ChatGPT. So I know what it looks like because I use it all the time, but I use it in a more intelligent way.
More native.
You can start to see the rubbish if you start to, you know, if you start to adopt these things.
I love that.
We just had to ask someone if they sent us an email with ChatGPT as well, Julia, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were a little suspicious just because we were like, this felt like the most vanilla ice cream email we've ever opened. Was this from your brain or was this technology? So that's really interesting.
But it is going to get really smart and we shouldn't be scared of using it. Like the stuff Copilot's going to do is because it Microsoft, you obviously own it, it obviously, you know, hooks up with Bing, which is what ChatGPT use, and they've got ChatGPT actually licensed this from Microsoft. But what Microsoft's doing is basing all of the AI uses live data. But also it's going to start to watch how you write your emails and your tonality, because it's live plugged into your tonality, so that it will write emails like you write emails. The more you use it, the better it will get. So this is happening. We're going to have to adopt it. Don't be scared, I would say.
Nice. On that, pivoting away from AI, are there any other top tips from your podcast or just from your knowledge in general? How can you hit that sweet spot of engagement in 2024?
Oh, for me, I mean, it does. It kind of maps back to the AI. So yeah, you've got to adopt the right technologies. You've got to, you know, go and explore, but keep it human. Oh, the biggest thing I see, and you know, I predominantly work in the B2B marketing space. So most of my clients are, you know, large scale tech companies or, you know, businesses that want to connect with other businesses.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I see is this terrible marketing content that is totally faceless, looks like it's marketing from a marketing team. They're trying to, and that's the worst thing you can do when you're trying to, you know, pull an audience in. You need to show up, a bit like we're doing on this podcast, as humans. People want to engage with people. Yes, use AI and technologies to propel you forward, but don't forget to take a human approach, build community, build relationships, engage in a human way, but let technology, you know, get you to get you in front of more people.
I would say to the team, I need you to write your emails like you're talking down the pub, and I'll pull them out. I'm terrible, Casey. I'm going, would you say that down the pub? Or do you know, it's got to be, it should be in a very natural way, and less is more. And I think that's hugely important. Be very clear and succinct, and very natural in the way we speak, and equally in the way we design and how we promote ourselves and how we sell ourselves.
Yeah.
From my side, as a female founder to a fellow female founder, we've been there, done it, got the badge, and still got big smiles on our faces. Let's inspire other women to become female founders. Let's move that 5% up to 25%. What's your advice on for those who are going, I'm going to leap? I'm going to take the leap.
Oh, what would my advice be? It's about bravery. It's about believing in yourself. And not, I think us women often have more limiting beliefs than men do. Men are a bit more bolshy often than we are. And you know, I mean, maybe I'm slightly alpha, I don't know. But I think believe in yourself. If you've got an idea, don't be scared to take risks. That's the biggest thing here. It's taking that risk and it's being brave enough. You know, so obviously assess things properly. Don't just take an uneducated risk. But you know, if you've got a plan, you really believe in something, go out and be brave enough to do it. Just get started. And whether that's, you know, I don't know, starting a hairdresser's or, you know, just going out on your own to start contracting or freelancing, just be brave enough. Go and have those conversations. Speak to other women who've been there, done it, that can give you advice and help you, and just be brave enough to go and action that plan.
Amazing. Mm. Love that.
Any other parting advice as to inspiring inclusion, the theme for International Women's Day? Any other final sentiments on that?
Well, go and inspire inclusion. I think mapping back to my very first point is, you know, please, men, we want you with us. We want to swap roles for a day. We want you to come and see it from our point of view. And we need them to be part of this conversation. So I would say the biggest thing, if you're a woman trying to make change in this space, go and match yourself with a man who can, you know, who's kind of senior in the industry that you work in and that can help you on this mission, and get that, you know, explain to them why, and try and get them to see things from your point of view.
Nice.
Lovely. You've been so amazing. But it's not over yet, because we've got the fun bit now. This is fun for us, maybe fun for you, but Jess, definitely fun for us. Katie, you're going to be on the hot spot. I want you to just think of the first thing that comes into your head. Are you ready?
Oh my goodness, I'm born ready.
Good luck.
Here we go. Number one, what's one ad campaign led by or spotlighting women that you admire?
Oh God, was it Always that where they did the interview with the CEO about periods? That one, I can't remember.
That's a good one.
I'm pretty sure it was Always, but I absolutely loved that. I must have watched it about 15 times.
Oh, nice.
For anyone, go and see it on YouTube.
Yeah, talking to men, wasn't she, about, you know, periods and stuff like that. I loved that. I think, again, that mindset change, talking to men, loved it.
Brilliant call out. I love that. If you could interview any woman, present or past, on your podcast, Marketing and the Madness, who would you want as a guest?
Oh my goodness.
You can go as far back as you like.
The Queen? No. Let Princess Diana.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, because I love her, and what an inspiration she has been to so many women. Break it. You know, she changed the world. And she was probably one of the first women to stand up and be brave. And yeah, so Princess Di.
Love it.
Fashion icon as well. So we'd have, have Trini for the present, and you'd have Diana for the past. Okay. If you had to sum up your journey to being a female founder in one hashtag, what would it be?
Well, if I said the first thing that came to my mind, it'd be confusing. I don't know why. I probably wouldn't say confusing. I would say extra. I always feel like extra is like a word that kind of probably represents me quite well. But
that is a good word, though.
we stand by at Street. And I would just say, just being extra, like being brave. I've always been a bit extra, and that's what I embody at Street. And
I love that, extra special. If I think mine would be hashtag pivot in the pivot.
Especially now, you know what is, it feels like bloody tough out there at the moment. Like the past few months has not been easy for lots of businesses. So
yeah,
also remembering to celebrate ourselves and giving ourselves pats on the back.
Celebrate the little wins.
We
say that every day. It's so important. Right. Question four. What's one challenge you faced that you believe is unique to women in the industry?
I guess overcoming those initial perceptions that people maybe have sometimes when we walk into a room, like, oh, you must be dumb because you're blonde, that kind of thing. So that for me, I think, and I actually enjoy it now because I think, oh, haha, you think I'm...
Yeah, well,
I don't think it happens as much now as it maybe did to me 10, 15, 20 years ago. But that, I think, is definitely something we get judged based on our appearance. You know, wearing lipstick, wearing pink, having a hair up, looking girly means that you can't be a boss bitch, but you absolutely can.
Perfect. Okay, every person has at least one song that pumps them up. I know Casey's got her tunes.
I've got a couple, yeah.
What's your song, your go-to song for pumping it up?
Great question. And I can't actually remember what the title of the song is. But it's Queen. I think this is the title of the song, Don't Stop Me Now.
Oh, yeah, that's good. What's the weirdest or most unexpected place you've ever had a brilliant business idea?
Yeah, do you know what? The most of the times I'm having ideas now, and this has been since I've launched Street, is, and I forget to do this enough, I move a million miles per hour and I'm like a bloody whirlwind, but I have my best ideas when I'm like meditating or in yoga or going for a run. And it's such a good reminder to me, because you feel like, oh, I can't do that. So I need to be working. I need to do this. But to take a step back and to give yourself time, because that is when the most brilliant ideas come. So yeah, yoga, meditating.
Out of your head, into your body.
What was it, Casey, the other day? I came back the next day and I went, so I had my massage last night. So I've got eight things I thought of that I want to implement. No word of a lie, in an hour. And as soon as I finished the massage, okay, I just wrote them all down. And I was like, why can't I be normal and just enjoy the massage? But I've just embraced
whatever
it.
Works.
It's where my mind gets a chance to win.
It got squeezed out of you in the gnats.
I think it is.
But that's true, isn't it? It's when you relax and you're connected to your body. That's when you have the best
magic happens.
I'm going to have to start taking a notebook into yoga with me, honestly, I swear to God, because every time afterwards, and I did it on Saturday in this sound meditation, I was like, I've had loads of good ideas, but I've fucking forgotten them all now.
I know. That's the thing. If I don't write it down immediately, it's gone from my brain forever.
I've actually started voice noting myself.
I was going to say this as like a handy, I'm like a big voice noter to myself if I need to, or a phone, like my Apple Notes app is just chaos.
But I'm now voice memoing myself because I'm the queen of voice notes.
Whatever works. When you're a podcast hostess and guest, isn't that the only way?
Yeah.
That's all you can do. So we've just got one final question, which is to round off our celebration of tomorrow's International Women's Day. One piece of advice to aspiring female leaders. What would it be?
JFDI. Just fucking do it.
Just fucking do it.
Woo!
Mic drop moment right there. I knew you'd hit it hard with a large ending to that.
I love it.
Katie, that's been so amazing. Thank you so much for joining us and for being part of those quickfire round. Love them.
That was amazing. Thank you, ladies, for having me. I just want to do this every day. Can we just?
I know. We could do it every day. Thank you so much.
I love it.
And what's been really interesting, and I knew we'd be aligned on a lot of the takeaways and what we want to achieve this year, and also what our hopes are for the Female Leaders Bar and the Female Leaders Club, and just generally for inclusion and motivation and that feeling of being inspired. And I think it can come in all shapes and sizes. The big takeaway for me from what you've said is that harnessing that word allyship and not forgetting to bring along everybody for the ride, because we will make a difference in that way. And I think supporting as much as we can, inclusivity and equality will lead to big things, and it will make a difference. So let's see that happening this year.
100%. Love that.
Thank you again so much for joining us today, Katie. That is a wrap on this episode, but there is so much more to celebrate on International Women's Day. And of course, loads more conversation. Don't forget, you can check out our website for more reading and resources. Thank you, guys.
Katie, you've been a star. Thank you so much.
Yay, that was amazing.
And happy International Women's Day, everyone.
Yay, happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, happy International Women's Day. Can't bloody wait.
Thank you so much for joining us for this special episode of Off Record On Point. And hold fire, because season 3 of Off Record On Point is coming shortly in 2024. But until then, I'm Julia Linehan.
And I'm Casey Long. Enjoyed the conversation? Reach out and let us know by rating and reviewing on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to follow to never miss an episode.
You can also always stay connected with us at www.thedigitalvoice.co.uk or across any of our social channels.
Join us again next time for another undercover industry deep dive. All off record, all on point.